Hey, my friend, welcome to the Tradie Success Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the Tradie Success Academy. We're on a mission to help trade and construction business owners unlock time and financial freedom within as little as 3 years. With the right processes and systems and support, we're able to help people level up with less mistakes and have the motivation and support and guidance around systemization and process, whether that comes to lead generation, conversions, on-site value delivery, maximizing efficiency and profitability, operations and administration, or personal performance, how to really maximize yourself as a business owner and unlock that growth in your own business. Now, whether you're a sole trader or you've been in business for years and years, we're here to support you no matter what size you are. So look in the show notes. We've got a link to an exclusive offer for the podcast where you get 30 days free of the Academy Mastermind program. On there, you'll get access to online, on-demand training videos, access to live training every single week, and access to an amazing trade community filled with all different types of trades supporting one another to unlock that growth potential. Click the link in the show notes and unlock your free trial now. Hey everyone, welcome to Tradie Success Academy. Really excited to be here with some of the legends, coaches of the Academy, Chantel Lard, Alice Boyd, Kirk Neal. Welcome to the show.
Hey. Woo.
All right, we're here to have fun today, everyone. I'm just letting you know, like, this is going to be a fun fucking episode. So stick around because we're going to be talking about some of the things that we've been dealing with on the coaching front, some of the members in our Academy, what they're going through, some of the successes that we're hearing, some of the things that really set people apart and why they're getting extreme growth, and some of the things that people are finding challenging because of the market situation. And so we're just going to bounce around and have a lot of fun and talk. So,
can I have a crack at marketing this episode?
Let's go. Go do
it. Guys, do you like fun? If you're a fun-loving person, you're going to love this episode.
That sounds like mine. That sounds like my accounting version of let's have fun.
All right, let's kick it off. Alice, what have you been dealing with in the last, you know, couple of months with the members?
Yeah, I think that one of the huge pain points that so many of our members and everyone in the trade industry really experiences day in, day out when they move from maybe being a small business and relying on, say, leads from, you know, their network. So that might be family and friends and referrals, essentially. Most people build their business, or it's very common to build your business in that way to begin with. And I see it day in, day out when people start to, I guess, exhaust some of their network because, you know, there's only so many times that you can fix something for someone or whatever it might be. People experience this feeling of mild panic, and I don't know what to do. I don't know where to look. I don't know where to get leads because I haven't had to do this before. It's like a new skill set, and this is so common across every single trade that we, you know, work with. And it's stressful. It's not a fun feeling. And that mild panic, you can really see it, I don't know, rising in people when they're not sure where their leads are coming from next week or next month.
Yeah.
I love this. I remember this. Is, well, you go.
I'm going to go. This is my turn. So I was just going to tell a story that I resonate with this because when I started Response Electricians, we got really lucky. I had this premonition that, oh, if only RCDs and smoke alarms were mandatory, it would be so much easier to start a business. And voila, they became mandatory in WA.
Who do you know?
Was that me?
Was
that me thinking about that, just made that happen?
Can you have a premonition that our money starts growing on trees? That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
It does.
Give it a go. Yeah. But anyway, that happened. And so I jumped in with one real estate, and one real estate gave me heaps of work for a long time. And so we went through the process of, you know, and a couple of real estates come off the back of that. But we went through the process of doing RCDs and smoke alarms for everyone. And when that dried up, it was like, by that time I had like one or two tradies and, you know, I was like pretty busy most of the time. And all of a sudden we went from like an average cost per job to of around $700 to $800 per job down to $120 to $160 per job. And I'm just like,
where has all the work gone? And there was like total confusion. I wasn't sure what was going on. So, yeah, I definitely resonate with that because it comes in all shapes and sizes. And once that work dries up, you're sort of thrown in the deep end to figure out how to generate work. So I'm feeling that.
What I take on that, Alice and Greg, is there's moments where business gets harder and there's moments where business gets easier. And if you can identify those moments, you can do the right thing at the right time. I had this discussion with a member just a couple of weeks ago around when things get easier, it is not necessarily the time to cruise. And this is where people end up in this like holding pattern or coasting, where it's just like, hey, I've grown my business to a point where now it's actually work comes in. It's nice. It's, and they get in this cruise mode. And my cruise mode is the worst thing for your business. When things get easier, it's time to stomp on the accelerator. And not to create extra pain and pressure for yourself, but if things are getting easier, then there's extra capacity. Then you,
well, there's no done, is there? You're never done.
There's no done.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you've got to look for that opportunity and know, is it getting easier or is it getting harder? And know what sort of part of the cycle that you're sitting in there. And how do you, if it's easy, if you're like, hey, actually, it's getting easier, maybe you're missing an opportunity. And if it's getting harder, maybe you've gone away from something that was working.
I think that complacency of, oh, things are good, things are going well, it's an opportunity to go harder, find these new opportunities, really, I guess, be strategical in terms of where you want to be growing and going over the next quarter and the next 6 months based on the fact that maybe you actually do have a little bit more time right now, which, you know, time is one of the most difficult commodities for us to find in business when things are really busy and crazy and stressful. So if you have a little bit of time, it's not the time to be, you know, chilling out and taking it in. It's nice to be able to breathe, but those are the growth times that I don't think people realize that that's actually peak time to be able to actually see some growth.
Can we just speak about that? Chantel, speak about that right now.
Yeah, I was just going to say that leads perfectly into what I was thinking. And I hear a lot of the guys that kind of go, oh, you know, when it's easy, that's your time to reinvest in your business, right? That's your time to go, okay, it's easy. What can I be doing to take that, you know, this cruising, coasting, money coming in? A lot of the guys talk about, oh, I've got low profit. And I'm like, okay, well, let's dig into that. And it's like, well, what have you got low profit for? Oh, I just bought another vehicle. I'm like, that's not low profit. That's reinvesting in your business. And that's your job, right? Like, profit is what you have when you can't do anything else with that money. If you can't reinvest it, you can't use it to, you know, increase your wages or do whatever it is that's going to make your life better. Profit's what's left over. And if there's nothing left of that, but you've used it to reinvest in your business, then when things are tough, you've actually got those resources there to push again.
Yeah. I wish the P&L, you know, was structured in a way where you could see cost and investment.
That's exactly where I'm going.
Yeah.
That's my next thing is, you know, having some involvement in and also, you know, recreating those P&Ls where we go, you know, it's cost of sales, it's operating expenses, it's other expenses, and it's investment because you need to have everything before that investment cost so that if you get down to nothing, actually investing in your business might be saving you. If you've got $100,000 profit, right? If you're a company, that might be $25,000 worth of tax. If you've got no profit, but you've got all these investments, you've just saved yourself $25,000 out of that $100,000 and use that to invest in your business and grow your business. And that's kind of gold, right? Like that's where you want to be when things are coasting.
Yeah.
You want to be looking at investment opportunities into your business to, you know, pull back and then slingshot effectively for the next round.
Yeah. And speaking on time, I think as well, we get stuck in what we know how to do.
Yeah.
So we'll sit in this space of like, yeah, I just got to get up, go to work, be on the tools, do my job, get home. I'm busy, do my invoices when I get a chance, do my quotes when I get a chance. And then what happens is because we haven't been doing any business development or work generation sort of stuff, we get so busy sometimes we stop following up quotes, we stop doing quotes, and the work will dry up. It will. But then because when the work dries up and you're forced into a position where you can't do what you know every day, I think a lot of people lack the awareness of where they should go and put their time. So if we don't know where to go and put our time, then we risk just doing nothing, which it tends to be, oh, well, I've got nothing on. Well, I might just go clean the car, or I might just go mow the lawn while I got a chance, which is fine. But also there is other things we could be doing to protect and make sure that your business is always got a constant, consistent workflow and profitability.
It's a journey. It's not a destination. Like the destination might be fully automated business, right? That's the end goal. But it's still a journey. Every part of it is still a journey. And if you're not seeing it as a journey, it's like, you know, you can't get to the end and go, right, I'm done. You know, like that, everything's done. You've got to be on top of it all the time. The minute you, in anything in life, the minute you step back and go, oh, yeah, I'm cruising. You know, if you're standing still, you're going backwards, really?
Yeah, it's boring.
Yeah.
Can I share a frustration on this that I had like just the other week?
Yeah, yes.
I'm trying to help this member. He's in one of our programs and needs extra clarity, but it's hard for me to help just through messages and phone calls. So I've offered a couple of slots that I could do, you know, a more tailored one-on-one sort of consult there to really help nail the problem and sort it out. And he's like, oh, none of those really work. Those time slots really work for me. I'm just like, I'm too busy. And I'm like, okay. And I tried again. Oh, I still couldn't make that. I was just too busy. And I felt like, and I said this to another person afterwards, I said, I feel like I'm driving down the road and this guy's walking real fast. And I'm like, hey, man, do you want a lift? And he's like, I'm too busy walking.
I'm like, that's awesome. I like that.
That's what I felt. That's what I feel like is happening with this guy. And I'm like, I'm struggling to get through to him. And I'm just like, he's just like too busy in his own world that he's too busy walking. I'm like, do you just want a lift, mate? And he's just too focused on being too busy.
And I think that's the core reason why our program, especially our Freedom Fighters program, works so well, is that reflection monthly. We have to stop and look at, hold on, where am I right now? You know, what actually is going on? Because if we don't, we risk just doing what we've always done and not getting any different result. Like you just continue to do what you've always done. You always get the result you can expect. So a really important practice is to stop and reflect on holistically, not just on your business, but on you as well. And how is this business impacting on your life, your health, your relationships, your mindset, you know, the way that you eat, the way that you come and show up at work, the way that you interact with people. All of those things are affected by the business. And if we don't stop and reflect, then you get stuck. I get stuck. Everyone gets stuck.
That's when you blink and 10 years is gone and you go, shit, I'm in the same place I was.
Yeah.
What have I done differently? Oh, well, you know, just cruising. It's all sorted, right?
You need to have 2 points when you reflect. You go, what has changed since this point to this point? And if nothing's changed since there, then we've actually done nothing. So like when you actually start to reflect on things, it's like pick a point in the past and then pick a point, might be the current, what has changed between that point and this point, and then analyze and reflect on that as like, are you happy with that level of output or change?
Yeah, you might be taking baby steps, but you got to be taking steps, any kind of steps.
Yeah. I've been talking about sorry, Chantelle.
No, I was going to say the bigger the step, the bigger, you know, bigger risk reward. It's the same thing, really.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been talking around on that point how as a business owner, we're running multiple disciplines effectively. So in the academy, we focus on different areas in your business. There's the business development or the work generation hat that you wear in the discipline. There's the on-site value delivery discipline, so out doing billable work and on the job. We've got the operations management discipline. We've got the administration discipline. We've got your strategy and systems discipline. And we've got the discipline, so the personal performance discipline. And those 6 pillars are what you will be focusing on. As a sole trader, you're doing all of them every day, or you're not because you're distracted by the other ones. And it reminds me of triathlon training more than anything. Like triathlon is a great analogy for what it's like being a business owner. And I've been developing this awareness around this just recently over the last couple of months of in triathlon, when you're practicing different sports, it's hard to get good at any one particular sport because you're constantly fatigued and using different muscles from the other sports. And so you can only really get in 2, maybe 3 sessions for each sport each week. And because of that, you don't really ever get really good at it unless it's over a super extended period of time, years, I'm talking.
You see this in like decathlon. Just take your 3-sport analogy and just multiply it. But yeah, the guys in decathlon, they're not fast enough to win the 100-meter sprint. They still got to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's spreading your energy thinly, and then how much energy are you putting into each space? And correct. If it's not either equal for that particular point in time, you know, identifying which one of those is more important at any given time or which one's lacking, then it's, you can't be doing well across it if you go, I'm going to slam it out for these three. But, you know, I'm like, what's the guy from Cameroon that swam in the pool? Eddie the Eagle, whatever his name is.
You can't
be doing that on the 10th one because you've just wasted all the energy that you've put into those 3 that you're really good at.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, and I think, you know, being on site on the tools is you not being a business owner. It's the complete opposite to you developing the skill of being a good business owner. But what people tend to do is they'll go out on the tools because they feel comfortable doing it.
Yeah.
You know, it's the sport they're good at. And they'll do more of that because they know they're good at that. But every time you're out on the tools doing that discipline, you're not doing business development. You're not optimizing your admin. You're not being a good operation manager. You know, you're not devising strategy and systems into the business. And so when your whole week is consumed by being on the tools, you are not developing the skills of being a good business person. And so that's, you know, effectively what our programs are designed to do is to take you through the journey in a very systematic way to develop those skills as a business owner. But we're just seeing that more and more as you scale up your business, you're able to delegate the role of being on site to your tradespeople. And they take over that sport and that discipline so you don't need to anymore, so you can get better at the other sports. You know, and so you then only have to do business development, admin, and ops management, and then you can develop those skills and get better and better. And then you hand off the admin to someone else, and now you don't have to do admin, and you can get really good at business development and ops management. And to the point you scale your business again to hire an ops manager for the ops discipline, you know, and so you're getting better and better at becoming, and the end result, you being pretty much the mastermind of the operation. Sitting in systems and strategy, just, you know, running, allowing the business to run to the strategy that you've set out. So I think, you know, to really zoom out and show you what the growth plan looks like, you know, that's becoming more and more apparent to the members and how we're speaking to them in regards to like your ability to apply yourself in every area of the business and how that plays out against each other.
You've basically got to be uncomfortable on a daily. You've got to be in a space of discomfort constantly, because when you're in a space of discomfort, that's where you have to, you're forced to grow. You're forced to learn the skill. You're forced to change. And if you're not feeling uncomfortable, when you sit in that too comfortable space, you don't grow.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, you have to be uncomfortable and you have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable in every aspect, because the only way to grow is to get into that space and then going, okay, how do I get through this? How do I learn that new skill? How do I grasp that task so that you can then down the track choose, that was bloody horrible. I don't want to do that again. But you've had to do it to know that's what it's like. That's being a business owner. That's why you're an employee. If you're an employee, you don't have to do all that uncomfortable stuff. A business owner has to do all the uncomfortable stuff. Mm-hmm. For the reward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of this mindset space around embracing the challenge comes from your own self-talk. I work with a lot of guys that still call themselves a plumber or a chippy. And if you keep walking around calling yourself a plumber or a chippy and not, I'm a business operator, then you're limiting what you're the ability to chase that challenge, because in your mind, you're just a plumber. And you need to get the most out of your business. You need to be a business operator. You need to adopt that CEO mindset. Yeah, if you look at like what a CEO role is compared to what the delivery of the product or the service is, you just have a look at like a CEO for a big bank. They're not processing loan applications, doing transactions at the teller, because that's not their skill set. Yeah, they're looking at the big picture stuff. They're still super busy people. But they're not doing any of the tangible client-facing stuff, because the bigger picture stuff is where all the money's made.
Yeah, that's been one of the biggest things I've been working on with people over the last 6 months probably, is getting clear on the positions that you are in and what is the responsibilities that you are working on and all of your staff. I have to get clear. So, you know, I think it's a massive thing for people to be able to succeed in their roles as well, is to get clear on it. So, yeah, it's a big point there. Cool. All right. Well, we've got to talk about prediction. So predicting the future. What is happening in the future, everyone? Let's just go 3 to 6 months. What do you think is going to be the biggest thing? I'll kick it off with Chantel. Biggest thing happening in the next 3 to 6 months. We'll go around the room.
Hold on.
Oh, okay.
Hold on. I had a really good pain point joke and we never got to use it.
All right, come on, so throw it at us.
Pain point joke, and then we're going to...
Well, I was going to say, I've been working with a lot of carpenters and chippies lately, and the number one pain point that they have is when they strike their thumb with a hammer.
That's physical. Physical. Oh, you know, come on.
Control today,
wow, man. Thanks for that. The cringe rule.
Dad jokes are alive and well.
All right, Chantel, go.
All right, so I guess predictions. I mean, you know, mine's not so much more about the industry. It's more like, okay, what we're trying to achieve is to get you guys to be so active about, you know, what plans you're making. And the next 3 to 6 months, you know, we're at the end of March now. You've got 3 months to make every impact in your business in this financial year. So that means if you've made a profit, now's your chance to go, okay, what am I going to do with that profit? How am I going to best utilize that in my business? And make sure that you're talking to your accountant before the end of June, way before the end of June, so you've got time to put these things into place. There's no point going there, you know, midway through June and going, oh, great, awesome, I can pay for a new vehicle now, and you've only got 2 weeks to organize it. And we all know that it's very difficult getting services at the moment in every industry. If you're leaving it too late, you know, whatever you can push in, yeah, you might just say, okay, yeah, the 2nd of July is better for me. But if you're going to save 25, you know, if you've got 100 grand profit and you could buy 2 vehicles, let's just say, you know, you might be saving 25 grand in tax by buying them 2 days earlier. And it makes a huge flow-on effect difference. And I think that for me, it's making sure that whatever your situation is like, it's not just let's get to 30 June and then let's get to, you know, November and go get our tax done and go, oh, well, that was last year. This is awesome. You know, whatever the industry and whatever the, you know, financial world around us looks like, what's your financial world look like? And are you actually really across not only your business, but how that interacts with everything else in your life? And are you doing something about it early enough to make a difference?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On that, because I just want to say, all Academy members, make sure you're reaching out to us and asking us about what to do, because there are strategies that accountants just won't know. They're a tax accountant. They're not financial analysis. They're not CFOs. They're not chief financial officers. They will tell you how to save tax. And some of the worst things I've heard accountants say in terms of saving tax is, hey, you've got all this profit. Why don't you put it in your super and you can reduce your tax by... What a great idea. I'll never be able to access that again.
Yeah.
My diet 64. That money's gone forever.
And you know what? It's that thing of, okay, having choice. You know, if you know what those three options are, one of them might be stick it in super. And if you've got an absolute shitload of cash this year, right, if you're in that position, that might be something that's affecting for you. And you go, yeah, that's a little bit, you know. But it's cash flow as well. Like, you've got to have the cash flow. If it's a vehicle, there might be option to finance it. So it's not as impactful on your cash flow. But if you get given three options and the best option for you is super, well, great, that's a choice. But you don't want to be tying up every cent of super just because they think, oh, yeah, like you say, 30 years times, that's awesome. What else could you be doing in that 30 years personally or in your business that could be a better, you know, option for that cash flow and won't leave you tight? Like, yeah, let's invest, let's put that into super on the 28th of June. And come July, I've got nothing to pay my boss, nothing to pay my suppliers. Yeah. That's not going to help, right?
And you've got no money to grow.
I would rather reinvest all profit into hiring a comedian to tell me jokes all day and make me laugh and feel happy than just throwing slabs of cash away for a rainy day when I'm old.
Have you ever made that investment? Have you ever made that investment, Kirk? Because that sounds like a pretty fun idea.
No,
but, it's not a good business opportunity for you, Kirk. Just saying. Like, let's just put it out there. No, there's a bit of training involved.
Now, in all seriousness, though, like if you invest in your business early, you'll have tons of cash to put into your super later.
Yeah.
Like see people cut themselves off at the knees because they do the super thing and they put a big chunk of money that they could have paid for a tradesperson for 4 months with the same amount of money they put into super, who would have then unlocked time for them to be able to grow the business and make triple the amount of money the next year as a result of that one action. So there's things like that we've just got to be aware of, and that's why it pays to invest in a community like the Academy and be around people who are talking around these strategies. One other little gold nugget I'm going to give away right now is the full tax deduction on vehicles is ending at the end of the financial year, isn't it, Chantel?
There's different changes coming about. There's always changes in place, but, you know, while COVID was around and while we've had all these different financial challenges, there's been that temporary full expensing, and it's not always going to last forever. So it's one of those things that if you can take that opportunity, then you grab it and take it, because, you know, otherwise you might be able to do it over 5 years, but it's only going to save you, you know, the 10 grand of reduced profit and tax on that 10 grand rather than tax on the full 50 or 60. So
what Chantel is trying to say is there's never been a better time to buy a company boat.
And I've had clients buying company boats and all sorts of stuff, Kirk, and you know, look, it depends on how conservative or aggressive your accountant is, and if they can make it work, power to them. Not what I would suggest.
Yeah,
company boats all around.
Unless you're doing work on Russell Island or somewhere where you just need to get there.
We said to do that. That is not endorsed.
Not endorsed.
That is fake news. All right. All right, cool. Predictions for this coming quarter, Kirk, what's going on?
My prediction is things will get harder. Business will get harder. And the people that don't take the time to actually think about how it's going to get harder and in what form it's going to get harder will get into that space and they will be ultra stressed. They will be paralyzed by fear and they won't make the decisions and the shifts that they need to make to be able to navigate those waters with some confidence. The people that sit here and go, how is the world going to change within 3 months and start to do things about it now, proactively, they're making business happen for them as opposed to allowing business to happen to them. So I predict in 3 months' time, we'll have a stack of victim mindsets existing because everything just got a little bit harder and they're like, oh my God, why is this happening? But in that environment, there's the opportunity for the proactive mindset people to start thinking now and make changes now that put them in a position to capitalize on that while everyone else is head in their hands, their heads up going, it's all good. I'm doing this. And then when it becomes easier again, tie it back in with what we spoke about at the start, when it gets easier again, they're in a way better position to capitalize on that.
Yeah. Guys, I just want to say you don't have to think about this yourself. Like that's what the Academy is here for. Like the community, the coaches, everyone is here to support you through what's going to be an extremely tough time in business. So to try and do this yourself is going to take a lot of time and it's going to take a lot of foresight. It's going to take a lot of thinking to leverage off the community, everyone, and the coaches' experiences. We're here to help you and we've thought about this because we sit here thinking about it all the time and the members are going to benefit from it. So you need to get in and sign up to the Academy. All right, Alice, what about you?
My prediction for the next 3 months and probably beyond is that consumer spending is going to tighten. A lot of homeowners, of course, are pretty concerned and worried about interest rate rises, about the cost of living. Of course, it is constantly hot topic in the news, and it's pretty hard to escape right now. And people are feeling anxious. People are uncertain. And in times like that, consumer spending might tighten. And I think that because of that, if people are only focused on the residential space, they need to be very aware that focusing your attention on people that are not going to be affected by, you know, a possible recession or, you know, by interest rate rises. There are people, of course, who, you know, at the end of the day, they have a lot of money. And being able to focus your attention on those sorts of clients is going to be really important, which is always, of course, a safe strategy. But not only that, also considering how diversified is my business. If all of my revenue is coming from private homeowners and I haven't aligned myself with some, you know, really great, say, businesses that give me the repeat work, I can form these partnerships that, you know, go beyond any sort of recession, business will keep ticking along. And so if I'm not putting my energy into the right spaces, that stress is going to really, you know, I'm really going to feel that stress, because at the end of the day, you as a business owner do not have control over the economy. You don't have control over how, you know, the country thinks when it comes to their spending. And so looking at different places and being strategical in this and finding the right partnerships is going to be more important than ever.
Yeah, if you've relied on word of mouth and, you know, work just happening for you and you're like, yeah, I've been sweet. I haven't had to really worry about it. People share, you know, my details with each other. Things are going to tighten up. Our financial situation is going to tighten up. People will be harder to get loans and refinances and be able to do renovations and commercial fit outs and all sorts of things. So we've got to keep that in mind. And like Alice said, developing a system around your sales and your business development and being able to build those partnerships and relationships with people who are going to weather the storm is really critical right now. So really good prediction there, Alice. Mm-hmm.
I'd love to hear your prediction, Greg. What are we seeing in the next quarter?
I'm concerned for a lot of startup businesses, actually. The guys that who haven't had any training or coaching, I just remember going through myself a lot of pain and frustration and confusion in trying to figure out what's going on in my business through tough times. And I feel like this is a tough time that's coming up that's going to hammer hard on a lot of the new businesses that started up during COVID. Those that aren't prepared, who haven't developed the knowledge around how to run a business effectively, who are still trying to work it out on the fly and learning by mistake, I feel like the hammer's going to come down hard, because we had a huge influx of something like more than 10% growth in new businesses last year. So there's a huge growth of new business owners that are coming out there when things were going good, when we had a lot of funding from the government, when we had low interest rates, we had a lot of people investing, and now we don't have that. And all of these new business owners are out there who, like, I'm passionate about supporting. I really want to support everyone that's out there that's going to go through this. But just make sure that you've got your business hat on and you're ready for what's coming, because, you know, I think it's emotionally, and I'm worried about the emotional effect. And this is why I'm so passionate about helping people, is because of the emotional impact that business has on people. And that's going to damage your relationships. It's going to damage your health. It's going to damage the way you eat. It's going to retract from you doing what makes you feel fulfilled. And you know, it's going to affect the way you sleep and the way you show up every day. And you know, that's my prediction, is that, you know, I'm really worried for these people. So, you know,
to tie that back in as well, Greg, no amount of skill or hard work on the tools gets you through a tough business
kind of business.
Yeah. Like you could go, if you've got no jobs to go to, you can't generate enough work. No amount of skill on the tools is going to help you. Yeah. So like you need to start building the skill set that's going to help you in this next phase, that's going to help carry you through there.
Yeah.
And any time in business is a good time to get that outside help. You know, none of us have the skill set to do it all ourselves, right? We've all learned from somewhere. We're all continually learning. But seeing what excites me is seeing business owners that are new business owners. Like you said, Greg, they're the ones that are, you know, they're potentially vulnerable or more vulnerable because they haven't got those sort of years of industry and, you know, connections and all those kind of things. Seeing them come in from day one and get the support that they need is so exciting because it gives them such an opportunity to just, you know, take off firing. And when you see someone who goes, oh, you know, like we know we've had a few members where they're like, I haven't even left my employer yet. I'm like, oh, this is great. You know, anyone is teachable. And you can teach an old dog new tricks, but some of the younger, or not even younger, but new in business, business owners, they're so open to taking on the advice and to taking on that guidance that they're basically doing, you know, what we aim to achieve, and that's to help you grow and scale in the shortest amount of time possible to achieve whatever it is that you got into business for in the first place, and that, you know, time and financial freedom. That's amazing.
Yeah, and we got guys who come in with 40 plus staff and
absolutely,
you know, sort of businesses, and they're like, whoa, I wish I knew this. Like, this is completely changing the way that my business runs now, you know, and to be able to learn that from the start and not have to worry about all of the inefficiencies that happen from that. And that's, you know, these have been developed not just off of my experience, but everyone's experience in the academy, over 5,000 trade business owners and the way they run business, and everyone teaching and evolving and learning and collaborating and evolving into a whole nother level of trade business owner. And that's exactly what we're here for. And we're here to develop people into absolute weapons.
Pew, pew.
Love it. I like that. I like finishing on that nice note as well, because we did get a little bit doomsday there, and we did say at the beginning of this session that we were going to have fun.
Yeah.
So that was really nice, Greg. Thank you.
No. I was being fun about that.
Yeah. We're having fun.
And I'm in accounting. That's, you know, what's fun?
All right, cool.
Blame the board on me. Still trying to see Shauna's what fun is. Yeah. She's been too long in accounting.
Oh, no. Yeah. good work, guys.
Two. All right. Sweet. Well, guys, thanks for hanging out. I hope you enjoyed the fun show with a little bit of doomsday for a bit of a twist. And
we've got to be realist.
Yeah, we've got to be realist.
Optimistic realists, you know.
Yeah, we're just passionate, and we like to talk about the truth and be real and let you guys think about it as well. And, you know, we're looking forward to helping you out in the future. Keep listening. Reach out if you need any support. We're here for you. And thanks again for joining us on the Treaty Success Podcast. Up for now. Bye-bye.
Cheers, guys.
See ya. Bye-bye.